Okay, it's 9:15. Sorry we're running a little late today.
Morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Any chance we can get the fans on?
I guess I'm worried. I'm worried if we turn on the fans that we'll not have. We won't be able to hear.
Can you speak louder?
I can speak louder, but I don't know.
Well, maybe
we can try one. Where are the fans? Do we know where the fan? Okay. So while we're working on that, just want to introduce today. Today we're going to be. This is a Uhu seminar today, and we're going to be talking about waste management. And we have a few great speakers today. And also, one thing I wanted to bring up is that today is the International Day for Climate Action. And I'm not sure if folks are aware of that. It sounds like some people are. Was anyone aware of that before just now? Okay, great. basically, what I've heard is that it's actually the largest environmental action, like as on an international scale ever. There's over 4,500 events going on around the world today. To bring attention to the climate change and the risks of global warming. And so basically what's happening is all over the world, different groups are coming together to bring attention to particularly to focus on the talks that are going to be going on in Copenhagen. And I think it's coming later this week, actually, where scientists and politicians and all these folks will be making some pretty big decisions with the UN on how to proceed on a global scale with climate policy and that kind of thing. So it's a just a really exciting, important day. And so today we're going to be talking about waste and dealing with how we deal with waste. And I guess what I wanted to do was kind of link that to climate change and why these things are going on. Because we're trying to take, with these seminars, we're trying to take this kind of more integral perspective on sustainability. And something that we frequently don't look at is the waste that comes out of all the products and things that we use in the world. And so taking the full perspective, it's interesting because our Living Roots group met yesterday about systems and complexity. And one of the things that we were talking about is kind of the full use of products and how everything works as a system. And basically we're frequently as a society we leave out the tail end of what happens to products once we're done using them. So the same waste coming from all this waste that builds up is basically from having the same source as the climate concerns, and that's that we're just creating so many products and utilizing so many fossil fuels to produce carbon that's going into the atmosphere, and then the result is the products that are left over become waste. So I just wanted to bring attention to that, and in some ways you can think that you being here is a small part of the awareness that's going on. And if you want to, there's a website, 350.org, the number 350.org. And 350 is 350 parts per million of carbon dioxide that is considered, scientists consider that the safe level of carbon dioxide for our atmosphere. And unfortunately, we're at over that. We're, I think, around 387 right now. And the concern is that we will continue to rise. But what today's call to action is to bring that back down to 350, so humans as well as all other beings and ecosystems on the Earth can continue to survive sustainably. So, I just wanted to bring attention to that. And then I wanted to introduce B, who's going to talk a little bit more about kind of what we'll be talking about today. B really needs no introduction. He can introduce himself. So I just want to ask him to come up.
I'm just B.
He's just B.
when I
came to Oroville in 1974, we didn't have any waste. There wasn't a problem. When you went to Pliny, they wrapped everything in the old newspaper and brought it home, and it went into compost, and that was it. My idea for today was to engage you folks a little more, if possible, in the discussion on what we can do about waste management. As Ethan said, today is a very special day, and the global issues we all know about and understand, and it's interesting, but what happens locally? So that's the real question. And I have a proposal for Oroville, which I would like to propose to you. How do we do it? And I don't think we need to add it to the Oroville Charter. The 4 points probably are enough. But the thing I would like to propose is zero waste. So let's look at zero waste. And what does that mean, and how can we get there? You all know about permaculture, probably, how Bill Mollison analyzed the rainforest and figured out how all systems relate together, all things are necessary. And we have to get back to that kind of a cycle where there is no waste. Now, even the idea of waste and the idea of refuse, trash, these are all negative words with negative connotations that we've used, because then we don't have to consider these things as valuable or sacred. See, if I said sacred garbage, people might get upset. But we understand that matter, even from, you know, Sri Aurobindo and all the philosophies, that matter is a sacred thing. So how do we then incorporate that in an integrality? You remember when Rod, when we opened these seminars, Rod proposed a beautiful concept of integrality. And then Bindu followed up with her concept of sustainability, how the three circles interlink. So we're trying to bring everything around full circle so that we're using everything. And as we know, our bodies are a system. We are also a composting system or a biogas digester. We're putting out two very valuable products, urine and feces, that are great for fertilizers. They can be used in so many ways. But in our culture, maybe, I don't know if it's atavistic Victorian thinking or what it is, but all of that people don't talk about. And they don't deal with it. And they don't want to know about it. And they want to flush it down the toilet and use 5 gallons of drinking water to send, you know, a half pint of urine a few miles away and have it treated. So I think in a place like Oroville, where we're trying to be the city the earth needs, we have to be a model of some sort of zero waste or sustainability or integrality. Any of these words you can use. Any system. And we know that traditional agriculture practiced these things. In India, there was a whole composting system, went on for generations, and water harvesting systems, all of these. So today, you know, we have Dr. Lucas here, who is working in the field of the waste management, what's actually happening on the ground, how the eco thing is working, and Renu, who is taking an active role in what's happening with Pondicherry, where Pondicherry, as you know, is dumping their garbage on our doorstep, which is Orcomers Canyon that goes right along the base of Oroville. So there's a huge landfill there, and then there's a lot of stuff that's dumped just surreptitiously all over the place. And an interesting thing is that styrofoam, you know, styrofoam, which doesn't break down, is very light. So all the styrofoam blows out of the dump because of the wind, and it blows, and of course it falls down into the Forkhamers Canyon. So if you go down the Forkhamers Canyon, you find styrofoam everywhere, and then of course the monsoon's going to come, wash all the styrofoam down to the sea, where it's going to go out into that huge island that's somewhere out there where all the waste is coming. So just to throw that out there, I would like you to think while these people are speaking about how we can actually get to zero waste in Oregon. What does that mean? And how can we use? And I have a few ideas. I think we should help solve the housing crisis by using the garbage to build houses. Compact them into blocks, compacted into bales, and they could be sealed with new types of cements and all sorts of ways it can be used. So that nothing is going out of Oroville, except maybe some bottles and metal and things that we're selling, and plastics that we're selling. We shouldn't be dumping landfill like we're doing now. And we should take that and use it here, and use it for something useful. So that's just a little introduction. And then we can, after they speak, we can carry on and appreciate your ideas. And then, hopefully, from this seminar and this series, we can send a report to L'Avenir de Oroville and say, okay, for the city, these are some things we want, you know, no waste being one of them. Thank you very much.
So I'll just briefly mention real quick, basically we have the readings that we had for this seminar for our students with Living Roots was from Natural Capitalism by Paul Hawken, and basically we have some extra copies over there if folks want to take it. This chapter 3, Waste Not, so it talks about that. Also, if you look at the current issue of Oroville Today, it's all about the issues that he was just talking about, the landfill, and I was just reading it, and it's pretty dire issue. So, if you want to read more about it, recommend that. So now I would like to introduce Dr. Lucas.
Can you repeat his name, please?
Dr. Lucas Dengel.
Just cut the doctor and the Dengel and say Lucas.
Lucas.
Can everyone understand?
Lucas is speaking to us today. He's Germany's been here since 1998 in Oroville. He was working at the Oroville Health Center for 10 years, practicing clinical medicine and preventative care. And he started a unit called Oro-Anam, doing outreach with farming and environmental management. And now, mostly, he's been working as a technical expert and consultant with solid waste management and EM, which I think he'll mention some more. So, thank you, Lucas. You probably need to get set up here.
Can you connect this?
Of course.
That's the subject of my talk for the next half an hour. The need for behavior change and the search for means and messages. Maybe I could have made it shorter in saying the means for messages. Because means, there are many. Everything counts. It is not exactly my turf, what I'm talking about. It's like new ground I'm exploring. But it's since the last few years and a few months, increasingly in the last few days, again, increasingly it's on my mind. So I thought I'd just share you what I'm thinking. I'm thinking aloud, that's all. When we talk about waste management, why bother? What is so important about waste management? Those of us who have undergone some kind of academic training, school, formal schooling, we all are aware to some extent what it is about. There is an ecological impact of the waste all over the globe. That means an impact on the biosphere of our own sphere of life. This means health concerns. It also means aesthetic concerns. Actually, the first thing that revolves in me is my sense of beauty. When I drive through India, rural or backyards of towns, I feel insulted aesthetically, not environmentally. I think, how can people live like this? So what do we do about it? We need ecological knowledge, we need technical knowledge. How do we go about the waste that is accumulating around us in a society as India. How to go about it? We have to learn management, dealing with people, organizing services. All these are questions which are part of the solid waste management scenario or the waste management scenario in general. These pictures are from our area. Most of them are, I think, here from Brooks. 2 years old, huh? If you look at these pictures, there's the typical dump site next to a road, anywhere here, Vilupuram district. And if you go beyond the dump, you find there is a wetland with water hyacinth. You find the water buffalo in the wetland. And even in the middle of this dump, you have a tap here. Here it is. And all this is part of people's environment. A tap in the middle of the dump, the buffalo in the wetland where the dump is dumped, where the waste is dumped. It is the worst case scenario. When people dump waste, they dump it typically in places where they should not dump it. Low-lying, wet. Contact with the groundwater, contact with the aquifer, contact with people, with users taken from the water. Now even imagine you have everything in place, technically, service-wise, organizationally, management-wise. Waste management is something we all of us need to be involved. It addresses everybody, the public. So a big part of solid waste management is how to deal with this public, with all of us with each other. The big chunk of the job is communication. It is about behavior issues, how to condition ourselves towards a better management of these resources, or towards not littering, or towards sorting of waste, or towards whatsoever. All these issues are part of solid waste management work. When I sit with friends in cars in India, it happens that it could be officials of UNICEF, could be government officials, it could be other NGOs, it could be simple farmers, it could be corporate management. It happens in principle with everybody, almost. Independent of educational level, caste level, economic level, that things are dropped out of the car window. We pass through a toll gate and the driver or the owner of the car gets a receipt for the amount he had to pay and it drops out of the car. Something screams in me. My father would have slapped me. So for me, this act is unthinkable, not because I have a higher ecological awareness, simply because I'm conditioned differently. It doesn't work. I can't do it. And I feel like slapping my well-educated left and right. I can't do it. How is this usually being taken up? This need for the right message at the right moment, this need for communication, appealing to everybody to behave better, to behave ecologically more responsibly, to behave morally more responsibly, with a higher sense of awareness of public spaces. How do we get this across? You see on the roads in Pondicherry little signboards, you see them everywhere in many towns. Keep the city clean and green. Complete joke. Complete joke. Waste of money. But the municipality or the government can say we did something. We had an awareness campaign. The boards are there. All these ads and all these blaring announcements of brands and shops and in between keep the city clean and green. It's complete nonsense. There's lots of half-hearted preaching from government officials and officers. And there's of course a lot of serious moralizing. going through the internet, going through TV, going through films, Al Gore, etc., 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 all fine, part of the scene, but how much does it impact the masses? Because we need the masses. We need everybody. And in that context, we are all the masses. We are aware that best learning is by example, by doing together, by being in the right atmosphere. We have brought children from another Tamil Nadu district, pretty backwards in social indicators, five hours, 6 hours drive. We brought them to Oroville, school children between 12 and 16, 17. And for them it was like amazing to see such a clean place, toilets without stink, clean tables for food. And it was for them, it was incredible that this is possible. And this is learning by imbibing an atmosphere. And they go back and they are loaded, they are charged. And months after that little exposure visit of 2 days, they talk about it and they still want to implement something they have seen in Oroville in their own school or village. It's quite amazing how strong that learning by atmosphere, what it can do. I mean, in the spiritual tradition of India, this is any one of the most important things, the Sangha. You sit next to the Guru, you learn by atmosphere. Not by what the Guru says, by imbibing his atmosphere. So learning by atmosphere is important. Here we have, well, the fate of waste. It's either the dump, the wild dump, or it is the wild burning, or it is drained down the down to the sea, as Bill said, as B said, and it lands somewhere out there, and the birds eat it until their stomachs are full, and then they die because they can't eat anymore, because they have stomachs full of plastics, and the fish the same, and the dolphins the same, and whatnot. Now I quote you from my, I mean, I would say my turf is not so much waste, my turf is much more shit. I'm rather at home in the field of sanitation than in the field of solid waste. And I don't like the field of solid waste. It is waste. But my experience in sanitation tells me that after 30, 40 years strong activism by governments, central government in India, Tamil Nadu state government, international NGOs, Swedish, Danish, local NGOs, domestic NGOs, still, the sanitation scenario is a mess. Why is that? So much good work has been done. So many crores of rupees or even dollars have gone into sanitation education, or not education, but into the sanitation scenario of rural India, urban India. Why is it not picking up? We have still open defecation. And it's not just a few thousand, it is a third of India or something like this, or probably more than half. And the biggest impact on the health statistics, disease statistics, is due to stool-borne diseases, shit-borne diseases. They're called water-borne. It's a polished word of saying the same. In medical language, it is fecal-oral or fecal-oral, which means shit mouth. We are eating crap. That makes the biggest impact on the health of this society. Most of our diseases, 60 to 80%, are feces-born. 20% of the death toll is feces-borne diseases. These are public health statistical facts. So this is the biggest health issue of the globe. It is not AIDS, it is not tuberculosis, it is definitely not avian flu. It is this, it's diarrhea and parasites. As simple as that. But the toilets that were built, those not just thousands, but hundred thousands, maybe millions over the last 10, 20 years, they're either unused or misused, demolished, have never been used, there was never water supply. If the water supply was there, something got stolen, pipes got vandalized, whatsoever, they are not used. From the point of view of an educator or from a public health campaigner, sanitation campaigns have failed miserably. All this money was kind of wasted, measured against the impact. Very wastefully used, wrongly used. Last year I spoke to a district collector in Krishnagiri district. We had a nice intelligent talk. Collectors are usually intelligent people, highly educated, gone through rigorous training in general. The gentleman knew exactly what I was talking about, and he was with me intellectually all the time, and by the end of the talk he said very proudly, I've just reached another target, 5,000 or 6,000 toilets in his district. And I realized all the intelligent talk was actually good for nothing, because the target is not building 6,000 toilets. The target is improvement in sanitation. And to build a toilet does not mean sanitation. To place a dustbin does not mean solid waste management. It means another heap of litter. So, question, are people not interested? If it comes to sanitation, it should have a strong impact. It would change the whole health and disease scenario of the globe if they would use toilets properly and dispose of feces and urine, I mean, of human excreta properly. Why is it not happening? Are people not interested in health? Or in saving money? Because it would save a lot of money. Of course, in a country's GDP, gross domestic produce or product, you see the diarrhea is positive. You have more pharmaceuticals sold and more pharmaceutical industry built up and more hospitals built and more doctors making money and nurses being employed. It is all positive GDP. If you look at the same GDP from another angle, it is the most wasteful way to go about your nation's money and resources. So are they not interested in saving money? Are they not interested in litter-free surrounding, sting-free surrounding? Why are they not picking up the trash? They love it. Are they not interested, if not in saving the globe or the country, at least in saving one's own life and family? That's the question we are asking in these campaigns for sanitation and public health. Why do we have more TVs and mobile phones in all villages than toilets? Mobile phones picked up like that. Within a few years, in every village you could see them. Toilets are not picking up like this. What's going wrong? The Bangkok slums are reported to have 1.1 TV per household, but no toilet. Well, they're probably close to the sea, and anyway, everything is washed away. This picture is from somewhere in Latin America. Indios in the jungle. They have current, there's the TV. This is from Tamil Nadu. That's the farmer on the field, speaking through the mobile. This is nothing special, you can see it everywhere you go. This is how it is. Slums, Rio de Janeiro, Nairobi, Surat, Calcutta, New Delhi, Jakarta, everywhere the same. So again, the question, people are not interested in health, saving money, beautiful surrounding. Wherever we have succeeded in building toilets and toilets being used, we get one interesting feedback by the user. When you ask them, why do you appreciate having a toilet? It is comfort. It is not my concern about health statistics and about the environment. It's not even their concern about saving money. It is comfort. Blunt and straightforward. Beautiful. The old lady who built that first toilet in a village somewhere in Trichy, she says since 3 years, now it's close to my door, I keep it clean, I don't have to walk so much, I don't have to be afraid of scorpions and snakes, etc., etc. Not to speak of sexual harassment for younger women. It is comfort and safety. This is the benefit of a toilet. Now, if you think of yourself, why do you have a toilet in your house? For ecological reasons? Because you're environmentally aware? Because you're morally responsible for public health statistics? No. Because you are conditioned like this and it's comfortable. It's the same reason. I wouldn't like to walk not even 5 minutes, not to speak of half an hour, if I have an urge. No one of us would. This is incomplete housing, incomplete residential comfort if you have a house without a toilet facility, some sort of a facility. Interesting, in the towns, there's only one type of people who are willing to pay for these services. That is the slum dwellers. They live in such tight conditions that they are ready to pay for public toilets which are well cared for. More ready to pay than the middle class, the urban middle class. Here a definition of waste by a student of Future School. Waste is the stuff we have lost interest in. When we have lost interest, we call it waste. It's correct. So she asked me, that student, that young student, but how can we create interest in the stuff we just said we have lost interest in? That's the problem of going into campaigning for solid waste management. But we have lost interest, we have dumped it, we have burned it, we have discarded it. Now you want us to be again interested? We just defined it as not interesting anymore. So obviously you cannot create interest in waste. You have to create interest in something else. It can't be the waste that is attractive. So that's the question. How to create the interest? How to attract attention? Lost interest means it is not useful anymore. It doesn't give me any fun anymore. It doesn't give me any status anymore. It is too shabby. It's become useless. All these possibilities. And it's the same with everything. And it's the same with us. So the question, have all our sanitation campaigns missed what is essential to the average man on the road and woman? The biggest industry globally is not chemical industry or textile industry. It is entertainment, right after armament and drugs. It is entertainment, entertainment, entertainment. In India too, Hollywood and Bollywood are bigger than all cotton industries of the country. So, when we look at these three things, which are defined as we have lost interest, the comfort, the usefulness, the fun, the status, let's go through them. What is comfort? Ease of life. Freedom from nuisance, freedom from harassment. And we all enjoy it. And we all constantly create our life to have a little bit more comfort. It is a driving factor of what we are doing all around the clock. And there's nothing wrong about it. It is not shameful and immoral. Fun, same thing. Another thing which is not that immoral. It's nothing but having fun, it means enjoying life, celebrating life. Be at ease, celebrate life.
But entertainment is not enjoyment, that's the problem.
Lots of issues of scale and how we stretch the things. No problem with that. That we can discuss for the next 5 days. But in principle, comfort, fun and joy. It's nice, it's appealing, to have a hearty laugh, and it is plain fun. These women in the conference just had some fun. Someone cut a joke. Status. Status. Basically, it is being recognized, being acknowledged. You are someone. It, of course, it has to do also with competitive status, being above someone. But let's bring it to that basic level. Just being loved and acknowledged. Big deal. Is it so shameful to want status? Driving factor. So, how do we find the right messages in regard to solid waste management? Waste management in general, sanitation also, liquid waste, human waste, but waste management. That's my question. Look at how it is done professionally. Wills in Sinja, where quality touches infinity. Almost spiritual, that puff, no? Or this one. Give me a bike, give me a highway, give me my girl, and give me the taste of toasted tobacco. Charmina. The cigarette is not anymore on the market, and these ads are all prohibited. Great ad, complete nonsense. Complete nonsense in regard to where is the bike exactly linked with a girl, exactly linked with a toasted tobacco. Roasted, toasted, I don't know. But as a message of having fun and gaining status, this is strong, no? I fall for it. Here, the man with a smooth edge. That was another cigarette. Which one was it? Charmina again, I don't remember. Wills, yeah. Or this one. Made for each other. Wills Navy Cut. What that exactly has to do with that picture, it doesn't matter. But the appeal is there, made for each other, having fun, celebrating life. I don't know who is made for each other, the food and the people, the two people, the two people and the cigarette, all that is blurry, but some more messages here. For shoes, I find it great. I mean, visually, very strong. Run for your heart, no? That's what it says, the brand of the shoe. Or this one, Nike. Nike shoes. Don't ask me what it means. The runner was so fast that he hit the car from the back and got stuck with his jogging shoes. I don't know what it means, something like this. But visually it is kind of strong, even if the exact image, message is not clear. This one. It's strong. This I find even stronger. The shaved Viking tattoo. Or this one again. Some guys and girls have all the luck. Because of Remington. Look here. Look at this. What is it? Here. The Remington shaver. That makes the difference. It is all about comfort, fun, status. Comfort, fun, status. Look at this one. This is just cute. This is witty. Or this one. This is strong. The Karate Training Center. You have seen this picture?
Slumdog Millionaire.
Slumdog Millionaire, yes. I use that picture often in my lectures on sanitation. The boy fell into shit. You remember? He was sitting on the toilet. Amitabh Bachchan came by helicopter. He wanted to run to get his autograph. And the friends had locked him into the toilet. There was no way out of the toilet but down. So he let himself fall into the shithole. Runs to the crowd where Amitabh Bachchan gives signatures and gets his signature in this picture. Of course it is kind of overdone. Who would allow the boy coming fresh from a shithole to run? I mean, it's overdone. But actually it's not so overdone. Because this is reality. This is sewer maintenance in Chennai. And this is the way sewer maintenance is being done in India, whether it's Chennai or Trichy or Coimbatore. So the picture of Slumdog Millionaire is a great illustration of sanitation issues of India, right? Look for this. Care for your head. Not everyone gets a replacement. Wear a helmet. Helmet ads. And even a stronger one. This one I love best. Wear a helmet. It's brutally good. Ready to quit? The van's face, the mouth is the exhaust. It's an anti-smoking ad. This is even better. Smoking reduces weight, one lung at a time. Or cancer cures smoking. They're strong, no? From your reaction, it's clear. These are strong messages. You can also use brand ambassadors. It's a whole new thing in the last so many years. So whether it's Aishwarya Rai or Andy McDowell or Eva Mendes, what is common of the three beauty babes? Common, they all make ad for Kanye. Because you're worth it, right? Because you're worth it. So their celebrity status is used for a message.
There's a photograph for the girls and women here?
For which girls?
No photograph for the girls and women here?
No, not yet. It will come. It will come. Don't worry. Three beautiful women with a celebrity status used for a message. The message as such has nothing to do with any of these individuals. They're just being pulled over to convey a message. They could convey any other message. They could convey, separate your waste because you're worth it. Or use a toilet because you're worth it. Anything goes. It doesn't matter whether it's Kanye or Fair and Lovely. It doesn't matter. Anything goes here. And of course, once they are celebrities, they are pulled over into that work. It is being done, as I said. No? Angelina Jolie is doing UNICEF work. So the biggest Hollywood celebrities are out there to promote social issues, human rights issues. All this is being done. And it seems to convey messages. They run donation campaigns and whatnot, support campaigns, because of these faces, beautiful people faces. We tried the same in my team, Auro Anam EcoPro. We had made several movies on sanitation, on ecological sanitation, on waste management. Another issue was there, and then. And we always said, oh, we need our Tamil Nadu celebrity to have a stronger impact. We had one semi-professional actor in the team from Chennai, Adavan. He was there in three of our movies. When I say our, it is always the collaboration with Shrini of Yatra, Kulavala. So he was there in three movies, and always the strong figure because he's really brilliant. He's a lovely, brilliant actor. And then we had a break of 2 or 3 years without any movie production. In the meantime, Adavan had become a TV star. Then we realized, oh, now we have a celebrity. Now we have to bring him back from the TV into our movies. So in the last movie, Matram, Change, on solid waste management, and the women sit together, the self-help group, the women said, how do we go about this message that we have to separate waste? The fatty, who was actually very reticent about the whole issue, she says, we should bring Balakrishnan from the TV, he speaks very nicely. Oh, and they're all excited. And that is him. So now, in the story, we bring back Adavan from the TV into the movie, And I've seen the reaction on the faces of the audience when we showed it to schools and to women clubs here in Tamil Nadu. They said, what, they bring Balakrishnan? And then next shot, he's really there, and they get all excited. So we have played the trick. This little fellow here, this one. No, yeah, this one, is Adhavan. He plays a kind of a communist leader with a moral, strong ethos in a TV series on Sun TV, I think it started. Local channels, I'm not watching that stuff, I'm only informed. We could go further. We are slowly having a celebrity, your issue. This is our sweetie Ayesha Kapoor. She had, the first movie was with Amitabh Bachchan, the biggest star of Bollywood for the last 30 years. She was in the same movie with him, played a child role. A few years later, now she played in Sikandar. I haven't seen it yet, because it's not available with English dubbing. That is Ayesha Kapoor. We could happily exploit her celebrity status. We have to ask her mom and her and go about it. If it helps our cause, I'm ready to do it. I don't know whether it will help our cause because we are working in Tamil Nadu. I don't know whether black and Sikandar have any meaning for my people in Alankubam and Irumbai. But if it has, we should exploit it for sure. So we are still looking for strongest messages. Waste to wealth. It's a nice topic. Like B said, zero waste. It's a nice punch term, yeah? Punch line, punch term. Waste to wealth. But it only usually appeals to certain preconditioned minds. Like waste to wealth is, of course, for the entrepreneur. Oh, there's something in it. What about this? Mahatma Gandhi is quoted to have said, sometimes sanitation is more important than independence. Mahatma Gandhi, the father of the nation, said that. So why not use it? I mean, graphically it doesn't come out well because the color and the background of the black and white, it doesn't go together well. It is. But still, the message and the picture, sometimes sanitation is more important than independence. Will it appeal to the villages in Tamil Nadu? I don't know. We'd have to explore this. Or let's try with this. Give me a bike. Give me my girl. Give me a litter-free street. Or even give me a bicycle. Give me my girl. Give me my litter-free street. Or a street without litter and stink. What an idea, Sergi. You know that ad? Idea. What an idea, Sergi. Is it Reliance? What is it?
No, Idea.
Mm. Yeah, but Idea is under who?
Idea is Birla Group.
Birla Group, yes. And it is Amitabh Bachchan, the son of Abhishek Bachchan, son of Amitabh, who speaks that line, what an idea, Sergi. It's brilliant. He's acting brilliantly in the ad, better than in most movies. Or this one, a home with a toilet, admiration guaranteed. Admiration guaranteed is the line from the latest Fiat car. Admiration guaranteed. You have to come up with these things, and I wouldn't mind even taking the quotes, exploiting the quotes. But again, who's my target? Who knows the quote? Who can deal with it? Who can enjoy it? Or this one. Liberty, equality, fraternity. Freedom from litter. Equal responsibilities to clean up the mess, brotherly and sisterly enjoying the cleanliness. And because of this picture of Delacroix, the bare-bosomed Marianne, we could have a picture with Carly on a dump site with that message. This is stuff which goes through my mind. Now, my mind is not exactly reflecting what is in the general person's mind on the roads, in the villages. Looking for strong cultural context, myths, meanings, ideas. There's the European fairy tale and myth of Briar Rose. The knight fights his way through the hedges to the sleeping beauty and kisses her awake. And this myth is there in Orpheus and Eurydice and in Savitri and in many other myths through many cultures. Now imagine the knight reaching the sleeping beauty and kissing her awake, and she wakes up and looks around and sees all the garbage and the rose hedges and says, no, I go back to sleep. Something like this. Or imagine the Pandavas after the battle, sweeping the battlefield and sorting metal scrap from biomedical waste. It's a bit daring, and you can't do with mocking. You cannot culturally mock. But this is the stuff that comes up in my mind when I try to go through what is there, which figures, which strong ideas, concepts, persons are there in the mind of a culture, in the noosphere. What Shakespeare has brought into Europe, Mahabharata has brought into India, whatsoever. I mean, let's pick. These are living entities, no, in the noosphere. So we are still searching for the right messages for behavior change. They have to be clear and succinct. Clear and succinct means they have to have a point towards our issue, solid waste management, separation of waste, recycling of bio-waste by composting, recycling of plastic by this. All this has to come through, bang, in a short line. Separate waste. Aishwaryarai. Separate your waste. Here she has the plastic and here she has the bio waste, the kitchen waste, her own kitchen waste. Visually attractive. Emotionally strong. Intellectually maybe shocking. Waking up, giving you a jolt. Of course, appealing to the target population. In general, the target population is all of us. You have to find a kind of a very common language. Or you say, okay, this message is for that target population and that is for this target population. But in principle, you want to say the same thing. It can be funny and surprising. It helps a lot. Our movie Matram and the other movies, they always try to bring in a lot of fun, a lot of jokes. It is important to keep it light. If you start with serious moralizing, you are losing your audience. Not only adolescents. Using also most of the adult audience. So you can use known icons, known ideas, known memes, or you create new ones. Any of these. These are icons. India Shining, of course, a political icon. Aishwarya Rai in front of the Taj. These are Indian icons. This is icons out of the environmental scenario. Strong pictures. Strong picture material. It is emotionally strong. And this picture I find always, for me, intellectually very strong. The earth, the earth, the earth. But it can also be morally very overbearing. We and the earth. No, it is here, my litter here. It is not me and the earth. It is right in front of us, next to me. It stinks. Thank you.